Let me invite you over to the book of 1 John, chapter 2, verse 20. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 20. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 20 reads this way. It says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne once again asking for your blessing on the message, on the service, Lord, that you might be glorified and highly exalted in our hearts and minds. Lord, that you might guide this service by your Holy Spirit and guide each and every one of us, that we might hear from you and worship you in truth and spirit. Lord, if there's anyone here that knows you not as their Savior, I pray that you would convict them of that need and that even today would be the day of salvation for them. But then, Lord, for those of us who have been saved, that we might be drawn closer to you and strengthened in the faith that you've given to us, that our families and our church family and the world might see your grace and your mercy in us. Bless, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is An Unction from the Holy One. An unction from the Holy One. An unction is a special endowment that is given. And that's important, and you're going to see some things concerning this unction that has been given to every believer. Let me ask you this question first of all. Do you believe every word of the Word of God? Amen. That's important because some people say, "Oh yes, I believe the Word of God, but I think there's a little bit of exaggeration. I think there's a little bit of storytelling, and I think some of these things, after all, some fellow in the St. Louis Post years ago wrote, oh, they didn't pass through the Red Sea. The people of Israel didn't go through the Red Sea. They passed through the reed seed, and the reed seed is only 6 inches deep. And so the wind must have parted to where it was dry, and they passed on dry grounds. And another believer said, well, that's even a greater miracle, because how did all those Egyptian soldiers drown in 6 inches of water? And so, see, anytime we try to explain away the things of God, we become foolish. We look foolish unless we believe all of the Word of God. Now listen, for the life of the believer, we are either resting in God's Word or we're wrestling with it. God wants us to rest in it. Before the Lord's resurrection, the disciples were wrestling with what Jesus was saying, were they not? And they had a hard time understanding some of the things, but after the resurrection, the disciples were resting and they were the examples of the grace of God. Even Peter said, hey, why do you look upon us by our own strength and by our own power, this lame man was made whole? But Jesus, whom you crucified. Now you got to remember, Peter, he was the one that denied the Lord 3 times because he was fearful. That's because he was wrestling with what God was saying. But now that he was resting, he was walking in the grace and power of the Lord. That's where God wants every one of us here this morning that know him as our personal Savior. God wants the lost to trust him for salvation, does he not? But here's one thing that we have to understand. We are the light of God's mercy and grace in us and through us. And that's what God wants us to be. That's the testimony that glorifies him. So the Lord wants us again to rest in his word, to trust the Holy Spirit to work in our lives that he might be glorified. So this morning we're going to look at a couple of things. We're going to look at an old commandment. We're going to look at the darkness that can blind our eyes. We're going to look at the unction from the Holy One. And then we're going to understand continue in the Son and in the Father. That's the will of God, not just getting saved, but then to continue in the Father and in the Son. And then also we're going to look at the anointing. Now, I believe the Lord guides us by his Spirit. Do you believe that? Now, he wants to guide us. We're not always led. We're not always willing to follow. But that's the will of God, is it not? All right. God guides. Every time we open up the Word of God, we need him to direct us because he wants to guide us in a specific way to a specific truth, to hear from him and to understand more about what he has. For you and I as believers, you have not come, in spite of what you might think, you have not come to the place where you have gained everything that God has for you and I. We have not come there yet. We have not gotten it all yet. But God wants us to grow in His grace. He wants the peace of God to be multiplied in your life and mine. Amen. All right, so I want you to understand. I think this is the way, I'm convinced, this is the way the Lord wants us to understand this. I'm going to tell you a little story here. Back in May, I think it was May, right? We went and visited my mom and dad. So this is like a couple of months already. And so anyway, my son comes up to me a couple of weeks ago and tells me he really liked my mom. As you walk in on a little pedestal there, there's a marble sculpture about that long or so, maybe a foot and a half or so, and maybe about a foot tall of a Roman soldier, you know, on a chariot with horses. And so my son likes military things. He likes studying about the different tactics and strategies and things of different wars, even in the Roman days. I mean, he just enjoys, and the technology and what they fought with and what they used. He likes all these kind of statistics. So I don't remember how he asked me about that statue, that he really liked it. That's all he said to me. I don't think he said he wanted it. I think he told me he really liked it. And I said, "Oh, Josiah, I wish you'd have said something." Well, why? I could have said something to my mom. And see, there's something I know that my son doesn't know, and that is the heart of my mother. Now, he knows it to a certain extent, to a certain degree. But I know this, my mom loves to give things that her children and grandchildren like. She enjoys giving them the good things that she has. She does. So he said, "Well, I told Jessica," Josiah's telling me this, and so I said, "Jessica, why didn't you say?" And she said, "Well, I didn't want to be that granddaughter that, you know, is just looking for things, you know," and I'm sure Josiah felt the same way, and it was awkward. So there was no problem. I understood the whole thing. So this was a couple of weeks ago. So sometime last week, I said to my mom, we were chatting, and I said, "Mom, tell me something about," because, I mean, she had gotten this since I've been married, and I said, "Tell me something about that Roman soldier on the chariot that you have inside." And she knew exactly which one. She said, "I got that in Italy when we were visiting." And she said, "Oh, did you want that?" She said that to me. She said that. "Did you?" No, Mom. I thank you, but I didn't want that. Actually, Josiah really liked that. And she said, "Oh, why didn't he tell me? Why didn't he tell me? I would, because it's heavy, and you don't want to ship something like that through the mail." She says, "Well, tell him it's his. The next time he comes, it's his." And so I had the privilege of telling my son that. Listen, we are going this morning into the Word of God, which is where God lives. And there are things there that you might want. I hope you do. And they are ours for the asking. Don't wait till next time. Ask today that you might have possession of the things that God wants us to enjoy. I'm afraid believers look at the Word of God and they say, "Oh, that was for Paul, that was for Peter, that was for Abraham, that was for Daniel, but not for me today." Well, wait. See, the Bible says our heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? So we have to understand that. And we also have to understand that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so He has not changed. You might find this, the world would like you to believe that there was a different God in the Old Testament and another God in the New Testament. Oh, no. They were exactly the same, and they have never changed. And it's always been about the mercy and the grace of God. So I want to look at a couple of things here, and I want you to be cognizant and aware of what God wants to give you and I. And as we look at the place where God lives this morning in His Word, realize that He has things for you and I to have possession of, to enjoy, that we might rest in the Lord, and that the world might see truly the grace of God in your life and mine. So look with me, if you will, 1 John chapter 2. Back up with me to verse 7. And I want to look at an old commandment. I want to give you a little bit of an explanation of what's going on here. Look at verse 7 of what it says here. Brethren, so we know he's talking to believers, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment. That's because God never changes. Which ye have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. From the very beginning. Now he's going to say something that if you're not careful, you'll misunderstand it and scratch your head. But you'll find the explanation here as well. So he's talking to brethren. Then he says this in verse 8. Again. So he's repeating himself again that we might understand. A new commandment I write unto you. What? I thought he said it was the same old commandment. It is. But there's a new understanding to it that God wants us to enjoy. It's not a new commandment, and yet it is new to the believer to enjoy. So notice he says, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true, notice, in him and in you. Oh, so this truth is already in us. Sometimes we have possession of things that we don't even realize. Sometimes we have been given things that if we don't believe we have them, we'll never have possession of them. We'll never use them and utilize them the way they were intended for you and I to use, especially concerning our relationship with the Lord. So he says this, I want you to, they're in you. Notice, because darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Does the Bible say in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that everyone who is born of God is a new creature? Does God also say that the old things are passed away and you have new things now to enjoy? Is that true? And do we sometimes struggle with sin? Yes, but does that mean that the new things that have been given to us are not true? No. We have those things, and sometimes we walk and act like we've never been given those things. And so God wants us to understand a little bit more about that. So he says, I want you to understand that you have this old commandment that is really new to you and I, that he wants us to walk in because it changes our life, because he's the one that changes our life, and that we might enjoy the grace and the glory of God and that transforming work. Does he want to transform you and I? Into his likeness, right? Has he taken us out of the world? Has he saved us from death and destruction? And has he delivered us? And is he delivering us? And will he yet deliver us? That's the Bible. That's the Word of God. And sometimes we live like we've not been delivered. Sometimes we live like he's not delivering us. And sometimes we live like he hasn't and will not deliver us in the future. Now, the only reason why we do that is because, not because of God's unfaithfulness, because God is always faithful. The only reason why we will fail in our spiritual walk is because we neglect to trust God's great, graceful faithfulness. It's the only reason why we will fail. Don't blame God. Don't blame it on being difficult. Understand that God has given it to you and I, and you already have possession of it. You won't have to have a special prayer session. You do need to pray and say, God, help my unbelief. That's it. Lord, I believe. See, that's faith. That when you stop and look at it, God told Daniel and the three Hebrew children that he would never leave them or forsake them. God also told Joshua that he would be with him. God told Moses he would be with him. God told Abraham he would be with him. God told David he would be with him. Guess what? God has told every one of his children that he would be with them. The failure is on our part when we neglect to believe that truth. Now, I can get up in the morning and I can look at the news and ruin my day. Or I can look to the Word of God and say, his promises are true. The world lies in wickedness. And you can define that more than the world lies, resting in, or the world does lie, does not tell the truth, because of wickedness. Do I want to rest in the world or do I want to rest in the Word of God? When I look to the Word of God, everything with God is yay or yes. I want to do these things for you, and I'm going to do, and I am doing these things. So I can either get up and walk in that truth. Do you think I'll have a good day if I walk in the truth of God? Or I can turn on the radio or listen to the news and say, oh my goodness, the world is falling apart. Well, the Bible tells us that in the first place. So why do I want to walk in the world? Haven't I been delivered from the world? So this morning, do you want to walk in the promises of God? Or in the things of this world that are passing away? They're temporal. They're just passing away. We're in the world. We're not of it. We need to function in the world, but we need to couple that with prayer, asking God for direction, how all these things that are not bad can be used for His honor and glory, that I would not get caught up in the thinking that the world's caught up in. Because we'll start to think that we've got to provide everything for ourselves before everything falls apart. And we'll miss God in that. Or we can rest and say, not flippantly and not uncaringly, but I'm in the hands of God and He will provide. All right. So this is this old commandment that's new. And then I want you to see this darkness in verse 9 that can blind our eyes. Look at verse 9. He that saith he is in the light, and that's supposed to be every believer, and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Another fellow believer. Is that the spirit of Christ? See, Paul said, you know what? I can have the faith as a child of God. And he was telling this to the Corinthian church. I can have the kind of faith that moves mountains. You could possess that kind of faith because of the faithfulness of God. You could be experiencing the grace of God, and the Holy Spirit will attest to this, and miss out on the love of God. And Paul said, through the Holy Spirit, we're just a noisemaker. Because the world looks on, and if they don't see the love of God, which is the foundational truth that the world needs to see, the mercy, God would rather mercy than sacrifice. There are believers who say, my goodness, look at all what I'm doing for God. Well, there's a problem in that. You know what they're missing? What God needs to be doing for us. And what He needs to be doing for us is allowing us to experience His mercy and grace. That's why people attempt to argue Christianity. Never do it. You can argue, but you will never win anybody to the Lord that way. Unless they can see, well, what attracted you? What, a good argument? A good debate? Is that what attracted you? Or did you see the love of God giving you His Son, dying in your place, and experience the mercy and the forgiveness of God, knowing that you deserved condemnation, and then God gave you His love instead? When God brings the conviction and we see our own wickedness, and I don't know if you understand this or not, and I think you do to a degree, but we think, really, when we look to ourselves, man, if the whole world could be like us, this would be a great place. Oh, no, it wouldn't. If the whole place could be like Jesus, it would be a great place. Because then there's unconditional love. We are so proud of ourselves, are we not? We are tolerant, we like to say. We're tolerant. Isn't that a good statement? Right? So you invite me over for a meal to your house, and I eat your meal, and you cooked up your best dish. And I come home and my family asks, so how was the meal? I tolerated it. That would flatter you, wouldn't it? They think that has the idea of including everybody. No, tolerant, I just put up with it. God doesn't want us to be tolerant. He wants us to have His love. There's a big difference between tolerating someone or something and loving somebody and realizing that Christ died for the ungodly. Beginning with me. So he says, God has delivered us from darkness. And he says here, if we hate our brethren, we're in darkness even until now. He's not, is he asking about what you're accomplishing through prayer? Is he asking you about your faithfulness to tithing? Is he asking you about your faithfulness to reading the word? Is he asking you about your faithfulness to your church attendance? Is he asking, listen, look at verse 9. He that saith, he is in the light. Why? Because of all the things that I do. And hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. It is easy for us to get offended, is it not? I would dare say everybody in this room has been offended more than once. But notice this verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Now, I want you to listen. These are one of those things where God dwells that he wants you and I to have. That if we're not careful, we won't ask him for this. Listen to that verse again in verse 10. He that loveth his brother, here, that's the first thing. God says, Jesus told the disciples in John chapter 14, if you love me, what will you do? You'll keep my commandments. If you love me, and here's what we do. Oh God, help me to keep your commandments. No, we've got it wrong. We've got it wrong. Show me how to love you, God, and then the commandments will be kept. Do you follow that? That's the truth. Don't help me to do the physical, the exteriors. Help me to love you, oh God, with all of my heart, with all of my mind, and all of my soul. Here's the one thing I'm convinced of. Ready? If you are saved by the grace of God, there is no doubt in my mind that you love the Lord. But here's something else that I know, because I know me. That we are on planet Earth, and we have responsibilities, we have cares, we have things that we need to take care of, and we can be distracted and preoccupied, and we can forget about the love of God doing these things. And then all of a sudden we can go into automatic mode where we're just taking care of things out of just doing those things. And we can forget that, listen, when we open up the Word of God, I'm not just reading a chapter a day. I'm not just taking time to pray. I am communicating with the Lord. And he is wanting to show me something, and that is that, verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. So I want you to ask yourself this question. Is there somebody that calls themselves a believer and that you believe that they are, and even if you didn't believe that they are, you still need to love them? Do you know why? Because God wants us to love the world that it died for. He didn't say that you had to agree with it. Can you love somebody and not agree with them? You can. You can. I don't always agree with my kids. Just in case you wondered. They don't always agree with me. But here's one thing I know. They love me. Are we perfect? No. So we don't have to agree with the world. But we do need to see them as a soul for whom Christ died. I want you to know I can't do that without God pointing me to the salvation he's given me. Oh yeah, I was that wicked person that wasn't concerned about the things of God. Oh, in my own way. Here's one of the things that I did. I would not use the Lord's name in vain since I was a kid. All my friends did. And what I mean by that, they would use it as a cuss word. But I wouldn't do it. Isn't that great? I would have split hell wide open dying like that. But I patted myself on the back. I may have even thought, forgive me for this, I may have even thought, I'm better than my friends. I'm better. Me and the Lord, we've got a connection. I had no connection at all. But I thought, surely, Lord, you appreciate that. I did it for whatever reason, because I really respected the Lord and I just couldn't bring myself to do it. But that was my righteousness. And I want you to know it fell way short of eternal life. And so we're real good to see our good sides. Again, you know, if the whole world were like me, right? It would be great. And you know what everybody thinks too that doesn't know the Lord? The very same thing. Now here's the ironic thing. I would dare say that a compulsive thief right? Would not appreciate their stuff being stolen. Am I right on that? How about this? A compulsive liar would not like to be lied to. And yet they would dare look at themselves and say, man, if the whole world were like me, we'd be in a mess. But if the whole world were like Jesus, and we have Christ and the Holy Spirit dwelling in us that has changed our life, if the world has any hope, let me tell you God's plan. It's Christ in you and I, the hope of glory. But unless we're taking possession and asking God to do these things in our life, we're going to miss out on that. So watch this. Ready? So here's the darkness. Verse 10 again. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Notice, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. So this is how you know. You won't stumble if the light of God and the love of God is resting upon you. And if you're stumbling in your own personal walk, ask the Lord for direction. Lord, how come I'm failing in this area? How come I'm being tempted in this area? Because the Bible tells me here, the Word of God, and this is the part where we're either going to believe it, see it as a treasure that God has given to every child of God. That's why it's written in here, for you and I to take possession, not just to hear these things and move on. Because we'll never take possession that way. We'll know about them, we'll hear about them, and miss out. So verse 11, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness, notice, hath blinded his eyes. And he's talking to believers. Verse 12, I write unto you little children, and that's a term of endearment, because your sins are what? Forgiven you for his name's sake, not because of anything good that we have. So, if you're saved, have you been forgiven of all of your sins? Sins in the past, sins in the present, sins in the future. If you're saved, he's forgiven you for all of those things. And so, if we can believe that, why can't we believe that God wants to empower our lives to shine his light? He doesn't want you to manufacture that light because we don't have it. You could never do it. Can you manufacture the light of God? Can you and I manufacture the love of God? Let me tell you my love. I'll make sure, this is the love of mankind, that I'll take care of my family. And if my family upsets me, maybe I won't even take care of them. Have you ever heard of a mother or father disowning their children? I have. They won't have anything to do with their mom or dad, or vice versa, with their child. And I would look at that and say, man, that is so unnatural, isn't it? But yet that will happen. See, our love is self-centered. The love of God is giving. Listen, you heard this before. To err, to sin, is human, is it not? To forgive is what? Divine. To forgive, listen, has to be of God. If you are angry right now at a fellow believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a problem. Let me say that again. You have a problem. If that's in my life, I have a problem. Not that person and not God. But how many times, well, I'll never talk to them and I'll never. Well, the Bible says that we're walking in darkness as a saved child of God. So can the world see that light? Can the world see the light of God if you're walking in darkness? Never happen. So here's the question. Does God want us to walk in that light? This is a gift from the Lord that he will provide, that he will give. If we want it. If we'll see it as coming from him, and we'll be able to ask him and receive it. So again, verse 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Go back to salvation. See, when I come back to salvation, remember, he's just talking about somebody who hated their brother or sister in Christ, and God says, hey, remember, you've been forgiven. Oh, yeah. Did you deserve to be forgiven? No. Could you say like David, who am I? God, who am I? Very quickly, Notice this, an unction from the Holy One, verse 20, our text verse. But ye have an unction from the Holy One. That's a special endowment that's been given to you. And ye know all things, or the potential to walk in all the truth. Notice verse 21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now here's one thing I know. A believer is not going to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So God wants us to know that we have the Son and the Father also. That means that's where our potential lies, not in our effort. If you are a saved child of God, your potential and my potential is in the work of the Son and the Father and the unction from the Holy Spirit. Notice, he says this, continue in the Son and the Father. Verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. Did you see that? Listen, allow it to abide. That's what it means when it says, let that therefore, what? The Son and the Father, allow it to abide. If you are abiding, listen, John the Revelator is writing this, right? He also wrote the Gospel of John. Do you remember John chapter 15 when he recorded the words of the Lord? Jesus said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear what? Fruit. And then he goes on and he says, you will bear more fruit. And then he goes on and he says, you will bear much fruit. So it's a progression that is to the positive, not the negative, right? So he is saying this in verse 24, let that therefore abide in you. So he's talking about abiding again. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, so there's a potential of it not remaining in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise, notice, that he hath promised us, even eternal life, in us. Don't confuse it with only meaning eternal life as a possession in the future. That's already been given. But the eternal life, the resurrection power of Christ in the believer. So here's a question. Do you want to experience, not by your effort, but by the grace of God, the resurrection power of Christ? Because that's the light and the power that the world needs to see, not our effort. Amen. And I'll remind you again, because if you do it, you'll do what we did before we got saved. I'm pretty good, aren't I? There'll be no worship there. But if God gives you something that you don't generate, like salvation, there's praise and worship. There's praise and worship. So he says this, notice. Verse 25 again, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. So somebody's pulling them away from the truth. He says, don't listen, continue, realize that you have to continue in the Son and the way to, and in the Father. And the way to do that is to ask God and realize he's promised to do that and to fulfill that, because he is faithful who's promised to fulfill his will if we'll have it, but we have to ask for it. That's like Josiah. What if Josiah never said a word? Better late than never, amen? What if he never said a word to me in his whole heart? He said, boy, I'd really like to. Never told me one time. He would have missed out, wouldn't he? He almost missed out. Wait a minute. How long have we been saved? Are we almost missing out as well on everything that God wants us to have? His power, his grace. And last thought, ready? The anointing. Verse 27. So you saw the unction. That's the special endowment from the Holy Spirit. Now notice the anointing here in verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Did you see that? We don't even know that we have possession of this. But the anointing, verse 27, which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, notice, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Excuse me, he's referring back to John chapter 15, the importance of abiding in Christ and Christ in us. And now, not tomorrow, not maybe, not sometime. Verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him. Is abiding important? I mean, it's all over there, isn't it? I'm afraid a lot of believers are not abiding, and therefore little power is taking place. Oh, they're still staying, going to heaven. And believe it or not, there are Christians that think, I got mine. It's all I need. I'll see you in the great by and by. And meanwhile, souls that God gave his life for are slipping into eternity because there's no light in our life. What is the primary institution that God instituted? The family. In our generation, the second now is the church. God wants your family to be priority. That offends people sometimes. The church is not first. Oh, it's there. But your family's more priority. Why? What kind of a church will we have if we have weak families? What kind of a church will we have if we have families that aren't experiencing the love of Christ in their home? It'll be a weak church. And by the way, I remind you, prerequisite for being a pastor is that the pastor, when it says rule, it's guide its own family first. Or how shall it know how to conduct the house of God? So very quickly, verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, listen to this truth, look at this promise, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence. Confidence. And not be ashamed before him at his coming. That is a promise God wants you and I to have possession of. How will you know that? You look at your life and see the work of God, not yours. That's why Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have run a good course. And henceforth, he said, there's laid up for me a crown. That was not arrogant speaking. That was confidence in the word of God and in the promise of God and in the work of God that was taking place. And then here's the beautiful part. Ready? And Paul said, and not for me only, but for all those who love his appearing. Amen. See, what is the most important thing? That you love God. Because if you love God, you'll love the brethren. Because that's the spirit of Christ. Does God love you and I? Does he? Does his love ever change for you and I? Even when we're a stinker? Even when we're a stinker, his love doesn't change, does it? That's the same kind of love God wants to give you and I, to give to our family, to give to our church family, and to give to the world. God wants to fill our cup, not halfway, and not just to the top. The whole cup is for you to enjoy. The overflowing cup is to go first to your family. Isn't that a good God? Then to your church family. And then to the world. You have been given an unction from the Holy One. You have been given an anointing from God. To see the blessings of the Lord and the love of God and the mercy of God and the light of God in you. In you. Not your righteousness or self-righteous indignation, but the mercy of God that loves people to the Lord, beginning with your own family. Maybe today you'd say, I've seen it before, but I didn't know it was for me. If you ask God, will he give it? If you seek God, will you find it? So the promises of the Lord, the invitation is even of God. The choice is ours. Would you stand with me as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, we thank you for the reminder and the truths that you've given to us today. And Lord, I pray that you may open up our hearts and minds and understanding to realize all that you've given to us. And that if we don't have full possession by your power and grace of these things that you've given to us, you invite us to ask you, Lord, that you might give those things freely to us that you paid for by the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's anyone here that knows you not as their Savior, may you speak to them and convict them of that need that they might know you even today. Bless the invitation, Lord. May you have your will and your way with everyone that knows you as Savior. May truly your light shine forth in our lives, to our family, to our church family, and to the world, to glorify you, and that we might see souls saved, baptized, and discipled for your honor and glory. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.